Wow, wasn't that a great baptism? She did wonderful. Praise God. Now, our head elder, is he here still? Rod, would you mind come up here? And there's a package over there behind the piano. Our head elder would like to present to you a gift from the church on this wonderful day. Inside there is your baptismal certificate and other things. And we congratulate you. And after the church service is over, we want you to be in the foyer so all these people can shake your hand or give you a hit, maybe. Yeah. And
welcome.
And the sermon today, believe it or not, has a lot. There's going to be a lot of weaving in and out of what happened to you today. So listen carefully. It's dedicated to you. God bless.
If you have your Bibles with you, I would invite you to open to Proverbs 20. And we're going to look at verse 27. Very short, just the first half of the text. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. I would invite all those who are able to please kneel while we have prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath day, this day that you have created for us to set aside our daily activities and to spend time in worship with you. We thank you for this very special event this morning that Ashlyn has given her life to you and has gone through baptism to show that she wants to follow you the rest of her life. We ask that you would continue to be with her as she moves forward into high school, that she will always keep you in her heart. We pray that you would be with Pastor Don this morning as he brings us the word to talk about how that we can be a light to the world. Father, help us to take these words, to take them seriously, and to be willing to share to the community about the soon coming Jesus. Father, we ask that you would bless us this morning. Keep us in your care, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, back to the sanctuary. Been a while, hasn't it? Just a quick review of some of the things we said. If you remember correctly, the camp was 3/4 mile away. They had to walk that distance when they came to confess their sins. And as the penitent came towards the sanctuary, of course, the first thing he saw was the white curtain, which represents the righteousness of Christ. pure, white righteousness of Christ. As he got closer, he could see this looked like a casket, you know, covered with this seal skin of some sort, and it was all dark and black, not very pretty. It was just ugly. But on the inside, the glory of God shined, just like Jesus. You know, Jesus took on human flesh, and you've seen some pictures Ellen White saw of Jesus, and, you know, I would have to say he probably was not the most handsome man, but inside the glory of God shined. Beautiful illustration. So as the penitent came around to the curtain, the multicolored curtain, the priest would meet him there, and they'd take him over to this part of the sanctuary and of the courtyard, I should say, which represents the earth, by the way. The courtyard represents the earth. Take him over here, and he would lay the lamb down, and the penitent would put his whole weight on Jesus, almost crushing the animal to death, and confess his sins. That's what we did. All our sins, the whole world, was placed upon Jesus on the cross and crushed him. Crushed him. And then the priest would hand the knife to the penitent. And he'd take the knife and he'd pull the lamb's head back, point it towards the most holy place, and he'd cut the lamb's throat. The priest didn't do it. The penitent did. Because we're the ones that killed Jesus. We're the ones that took his life. Our sins did that. And then the priest would take the blood, and he'd do one or two things to the blood. I thought this was very... One or two things to the blood. He'd take the blood, and if he went into the altar with the blood, and into the holy place with the blood, he would sprinkle it before the veil. And then they'd take the sacrifice, which is very interesting, and take it outside the camp and burn it. Representing that Jesus not only died for Israel, but he died for the whole world. And as you look at Jesus at Golgotha, he didn't die in Jerusalem, did he? He died outside on the hill, representing the whole world again, that Jesus died for him. The other option was the priest would take the blood and probably sprinkle it on the horns of the golden altar. They'd take and they'd skin the animal. They'd cut them in pieces, wash them, and then place them on the altar and burn the animal. The priest during this process would take a small piece of the lamb and eat it. Remember, the lamb represents Jesus. The priest was human. So humanity and divinity united together. When we have communion service, this is the same thing. We are human. Symbolically, the bread and the wine we partake is of God, is Jesus. And if we partake that symbolically, we are saying that we are united with divinity. God lives in us through the power of his Holy Spirit. Two are one in both areas. So as the priest, when he came back and he took the blood to go into the holy place, the penitent would stand there and he'd see it as the priest would push that curtain back just a little bit. And he would look in, probably, and the first thing you'd see to the right was the seven-branch candlestick. The seven-branch candlestick. You find the seven-branch candlestick in Exodus chapter 25, if you want to read a lot of details about it. It was made by Bezalel. I get mixed up, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. Anyway, Bezalel. It was made out of one piece of gold that weighed a talent. You have any idea what that is? I'll tell you, you go on the internet and you start searching this stuff, and there are so many ideas and so many contradictions, it's hard to pin it down, I found. I found it's very hard. But one thing it said that a talent, when used to measuring money, weighed about 65 to 120 pounds, somewhere in there. So I thought I'd demonstrate that, okay? Okay, maybe about that size. I don't know. Pretty heavy, though. Yeah. You know what it was worth? Today's value, around $200,000. So Bezalel was given this talent of gold. Oh, excuse me. Was given this talent of gold. And he was told to make this candlestick, this altar. He was told specifically how to make it. He was to beat it. Now, to beat gold, you have to heat it, like any other metal. You have to heat it. And he had to take this talent of gold, and he had to beat it and shape it. I just can't. It'd be so much easier to build a mold and pour the gold in the mold, you know. But no, God says he had to beat it. Had to come out of one piece. Never broke once. And by the way, if he didn't keep heating it and pounding it and heating it, if it got too cold, crystallize and break. If he tried to hit it. The guy had to be a tremendous artist. You know, if I remember correctly, I think Scripture says that he was the one that took gold and beat it until it came a thread. Can you imagine that? And then the thread was, you see it in different parts of the sanctuary service and then the priest. I mean, this guy had to be the artist of artists. That's all I got to say. Because this candlestick, man, let's see, some of the things it had. Let's see. Let me move on to this. Oh, Peter says this about it. Well, I think this is interesting. Peter says, he does. There it goes. No, lost connection. Hang tight. Coming back. I love this computer stuff. Peter says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." You see, we're like gold to Jesus. He is shaping us every day, every day. The fiery trials makes us hurt sometimes on the hammer of the pressure of the hammer, which is the word of God. You know? It shapes us. Jeremiah 23:29 says, Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. So Bezalel took this fine gold that represents faith and love, and he shapes it, and he beats it, and he makes it into the form of a lampstand. The candlestick has a central shaft with their branches coming out each side. Their branches include the likeness of a bud. This is where I get really, I think it's crazy. A bud, a blossom, and an almond. He's beating this with a hammer, and he's shaping it. And all these, you know, it's like Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod was a symbol of the resurrection. That's what this candle is a symbol of, too. He beat blossoms, you know, and leaves, and almonds. I mean, with a hammer? Wow. Symbol of the resurrected life that brings forth buds and blossoms. Fruit like almonds. Christ said this process, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn of ear. It kind of suggests to us every stage of Christian life. We are constantly growing as Christians. Constantly. God is shaping us constantly. Sometimes those trials are pretty tough. Pretty tough. But I think Paul says also we need to rejoice always. Even during our trials. Now, that's hard. I know it's hard. I can remember going through ministry for years, and the crisis had come up, and, oh, man, and then when the crisis is over, I realized what it was all about, and I grew, and I praised God for it, And then things are going good, and the person, here comes another crisis. And I'm saying, yeah, wow, okay. Struggled through that. I didn't do much praising, but, you know, got all done. I looked back, and I thought, wow. Now I'm going to have to be honest with you. Another trial came. You know what I said? I said, Lord, I'm not sure I want to grow anymore. Yeah. You know, trials are not fun, but they're to help us grow. They help us become more mature in Jesus. So Jesus wants to make us special. The Bible does not, let's see, we are told that the Bible doesn't tell, do you know how tall this altar was? This candlestick. Do you know how tall this candlestick was? It doesn't say. We know the height of the showbread. We know the height of the altar of incense, but we do not know the height of the candlestick. Bezalel, it was up to him. He could make the candlestick as tall as he wanted or short as he wanted. You know, we're not told what it is. So here's a question. How high do you want your light to shine? That's up to you. It's your choice. God's ideal is for you to shine higher than the highest human thought can even reach. But it's up to you how much light you let you shine. Bezalel could make this candlestick just as tall as he wanted. And we can too. We can let the light shine in our lives as high as we choose, but God permits us to choose how to show that life. At the end of each of these branches was a lamp shaped like an almond, a hollow dish. It had a peg beneath it, and the branch itself that fitted together and tied together. And each lamp could be taken off, and oil and a new flame affixed. Now, where do you think the wicks came from? Have you any idea? Well, the Masa says that the used robes of the priests were used for this purpose. The used robes of the priests were used. They were torn into ribbons and then pleated together into wicks. Isn't that interesting? You know what that tells me? What does a white robe of the priest suggest? Christ's righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ that glows in shining glory in the darkness of our lives. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So are you getting this? It's the righteousness of Christ saturated with the oil of the Holy Spirit that illuminates us. Where does the fire come from? Mrs. White tells us that the spark to unite the light in our lives was brought from the brazen altar. And the brazen altar is a symbol of Calvary. It's united by Christ. It's lit by Christ, if you will. Here's a statement. Anyone that kindles the taper from the divine altar holds his lamp firmly. He does not use common fire, but the holy fire kept burning by the power of God day and night. Each person, each soul, each being is to light his own taper or his own wick. What is the wick? Solomon says, it is the spirit of man in the lamp of the Lord. The spirit of man in the lamp. Proverbs 20:27. So, you must light the wick from the altar, Calvary. And with the righteousness of Christ burning clothing you, excuse me. You're filled with the oil of the Spirit, and your life is made bright by the glory of Calvary. It all ties together. You may lift that glory up as high as you wish. It's up to you. Symbol of the resurrected life. Symbol of what Jesus is doing to and through you. And you can lift that light as high as you want. It's up to you. Totally up to you. How much are you willing to let your light shine? What's the only measurement connected to the seven-branch candlestick? One talent. We already covered that. One talent. Christ told some stories about talents. Remember? One particular one. What did the fellow do with that one talent? He went and buried it. That's right. Before he buried it, he wrapped it in a cloth and napkin. In a sense, he didn't so much was hiding it, but he dedicated it to the pursuits of this life, this earth, this earth. But Bezalel made the most beautiful symbol of the Christian life that you will find. Out of one talent of gold, we have the same choice. How often was the candlestick lit? This is very important. How often was it lit? It was lit every morning and every evening. It was lit every morning and every evening. Who was to light it? Again, the priest was the one that lit the candlestick, which is Jesus. Jesus is the one that lights our candlestick. But remember, the candle of our lives is the spirit of man. And it must be lit, how often? Morning and evening. Think about that. You know, what is your spirit? What is your spirit? Let me illustrate what your spirit is. Maybe this will help you understand a little more the importance of lighting your candle every morning and every evening. Okay? You're coming to church some Sabbath. You spent a long time washing that white shirt, and you've ironed it perfectly. It's rained a little bit that morning, and you go out to get in the car, and the car drives by and hits a mud puddle and splashes all your white shirt. It's not white anymore, is it? What spirit is living in you when that happens? You're parking a brand new automobile, and somebody opens his 25-year-old jalopy, and you no longer have a perfect paint job. What spirit do you have in you? I thought somebody out there was sick. I couldn't hear what that noise was. Or how about this one? The poor fellow in front of you has a reaction time to the red light 1/500th of a second less than you. He could have made it, you know. He could have made it. And so what do? Do you indulge in electronic cussing? What spirit is in you? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Got that? Are you seeing the picture yet? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It must be lit morning and evening by Jesus, our high priest. Because if we don't spend time with Jesus morning and evening, think about this. Every morning and evening, spending time with Jesus, the light our candle, friends, then the spark of fire is going to be nothing but mere human kindling. You know it as well as I know. Those days we don't stop and take time with Jesus, we just start doing our own thing. Jesus talked a great deal about allowing our light to go, not about allowing our light to go out. He uses three illustrations. I like these three illustrations. He says, we may hide our light under the bushel. Quote, Matthew 5:15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick giveth light to all that are in the house. So what's a bushel? A bushel is what measures the harvest. A bushel is a symbol of human standards of material success. Can we allow materialism to put out our light? Not really. We should not allow materialism to put out our light. What else does he say about our light? He says something else. He says, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not be set on a candlestick? A bed is a symbol of two things. Yeah. Laziness or lust. We can allow either one to put our light out. We must spend time with Jesus morning and night. What else did he say about? A secret place. That's why you don't see it. A secret place. Yeah. He says in Luke 11:33, no one, when he has it lit, a lamp with a candle, puts it in a secret place. A secret sin can snuff out the light of a candle. Years of my life. What is a candlestick? This might surprise you. Revelation 1:20 tells us what a candlestick is. The seven lampstands, candlesticks, which you saw in heaven are the churches. There are some people who think they can light their let their light shine apart from the church. But you know what? The church is the candlestick, and every one of your candles needs to be here every Sabbath. I can just imagine, what if every Seventh-day Adventist, say of Valley View, or Medford Church, or any of the churches, what if everybody in the church lit the candle every morning and every evening? Seriously. You go time with Jesus every morning and every evening, and then you came to church. You know, you come to church on Sabbath? I think that this church would shine all over Medford. We have to light those candles, friends. We have to light them. We break Christ's specific commandment. We try not to do this. When the Lord illumines the candle of our souls, he wants us to add our spark to the light already shining in his church. He needs you to be part of the church. When the priest lifted up the veil of the holy place and the penitent saw the lamp, he saw there a symbol of what God intended him to be through Jesus Christ. We too must catch that vision. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine. When the priest went inside to take the blood and sprinkle it, and lift up that veil, it was only then that the interested penitent might look inside. Every time we look at Calvary, friends, it gives us insight to something new, something else that Jesus wants from us. The question is, has God lit your candle? Has God lit that wick so you can shine for Jesus? Have you brought your spirit and allowed the spark from Calvary to illuminate all around you? Have you accepted the righteousness of Jesus Christ as Ashton did this morning? Have you clothed yourself with His righteousness? Revelation 3:18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by the fire, that you may be rich with white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to saturate the righteousness of Jesus Christ with the oil of the Holy Spirit in your heart? Are you allowing the fires to relight the lamp of your soul every morning and every evening? Is the question we've got to ask ourselves. Paul urges us, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the word renewing here in the Greek is used in the sanctuary service as relighting the seven branch candlestick. The same word, renewing your mind, relighting the candlestick. Same word in Greek. Your mind must be lighted morning and evening by the afterglow of Golgotha, friends. May God make us willing to submit to the daily ministry of our high priest, Jesus. I want to do something different this morning. I want to do something a little bit unusual. I want to invite the children. Children, come up front. Come on up. Yes. Just line up here and face the congregation. And this congregation, we're going to invite you to join us, is our closing song. Are you ready? Let us sing. Get that finger up. This little line of mine. Your older children can help if you want to come join us. Come on up here. No. Are you ready? All right. All right.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let it out, I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna sing it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Let's pray, okay? Father God, we want to thank you so much for the light that Jesus lights in us. May we spend time with him morning and night, that we can continue shining for Jesus day after day until he comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Thank you.